Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
When you're on the road and you roll into a new town, do you look for that yellow and blue eye logo? Once you see that, every Australian knows it's a local tourism information centre. Well, I want to know, do you pop in? Do you use the loo, grab a map? Do you get a recommendation from one of the locals? Or do you keep on driving because you've got all of the information that you need on your phone? There are about 400 of these centres around Australia. A handful have closed over the last decade, though, as technology has replaced some of the need. Some in the industry are wondering if it's still worth having the local tourist information booth. Well, my next guest, though, reckon you can't replace the service that you get from a bricks and mortar information centre. Wayne Clift is the program manager for the Visitor Information Centre Network across Queensland and New South Wales. We're also going to hear soon from one of the most successful tourism information centres in Bowen, home of the Big Mango. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, Suzanne. Thank you.
Look, why do we still need information centres where you can get a wealth of information on your phone?
I think that tourism is never going to lose the need for people to talk to people. Whilst there's a lot of information, obviously, you can get on your phone digitally, a lot of different ways. When you get to a town, you really want to find somebody that can give you trusted advice. We say trusted advice from a local, where you have someone that's lived there and they're passionately telling you about the great things you can see and do in their region. And it's the sort of things you can't just find easily online, some of it. They're the experiences that people go home and talk about. And so the people who go into visitor information centres, not only do they spend more in the region, they actually become greater advocates. So they're a very important fabric of the community and the tourism network.
So, Wayne, when you go travelling, do you go to visit the other information centres?
Yes, I'd say, of course I do.
But, I mean, have you got an example of something you found out perhaps from a visitor information centre that you wouldn't have found out from your phone?
Oh, there's no question. There are so many places, no matter, even in our own backyards, very few of us look around our own cities very well. But anywhere you go into any town, there are places that the locals know about that they don't actually promote to the visitors because the tourism organisation, there's no attractions there or something. But it's that the little waterhole that you go down to, the most idyllic setting that you just wouldn't have found, no chance. Whereas a local says, you must go there. It's not very far. It's only just down the road. Just take that turn off the big gum tree and if you go down there 100 yards, it's beautiful. And so that's what they do really well. So there's a number of times when I've gone to places and it might be an old historic building that if you like history, well, those guys just know it all. So that's where their real strength is.
Yeah. Now, you run accreditation, Wayne. What do you have to do to qualify for the blue and yellow logo?
The accreditation program is owned, if you like, by each of the states, the state tourism organisations, and then they all do it slightly differently, but generally it's a national program, pretty much exactly the same sort of criteria. They have their business plans. They have to be open 24, up to a minimum of 38 hours a week across 7 days. They need to provide to make sure that people that are working there have got the right training. They have local directories, so they do know what's happening in town. They've got toilets, you mentioned it, pretty important. Then they provide unbiased information that is not based on receiving commissions. So there's a number of other things, but that's generally what it's about.
Yeah, and now, who actually funds them? How do they get the money to keep going?
Various business models, the large percentage of both New South Wales and Queensland, 73.5%, something like that, are local government run, so councils. But then you've got completely the opposite, and we've got a group of volunteers, wonderful, gently older people that run a historical centre and have a visitor information centre attached to that. And they get virtually no money from the council, maybe enough to buy the biscuits. But really, they do it on their own. And so you get this great difference in operating models, but they all have the same criteria. They all have to give this information that they're, and you don't even have to train people to do that. They're just passionate about their regions. They can't help themselves. So it's a different model in different places due to the circumstances, one in the city or one at Julia Creek or Bourke, all run differently.
Now, Steve from Warhope just says, we always use the information centres. They're so helpful and they provide great maps. Someone else just saying, just love, love, love a tourist information centre. Visit anytime, anywhere. But Wayne, some of them have closed. How many have closed over the past few years?
Oh, really? So we've been in doing this for the last 12 years. And I guess in Queensland, we started there and they've lost probably, I reckon, 10 over that time. But there's been a couple that have popped in. So there's a few come and go, all sorts of reasons. Sometimes just the people that are running them decide that they don't think that they're any good, that they would rather spend money advertising or doing something else. So it's a lot of time it's the personalities or the local council policy. So there have been a few that come and go, but generally they've held their own pretty well. And same with New South Wales, the other area that we look after a lot. About 101 in New South Wales are probably down from about 105. So it's over 10 years. It's not a huge drop, really. People like to say that they're finished because we can find everything on the phone. The numbers don't show that.
All right, let's bring in Leanne Abernathy. Leanne's from the Bowen Information Centre, and you've got the big mango there. Is that correct, Leanne?
Yes, that's correct, Suzanne.
Okay, how much of an attraction is the big mango? Like, if your information wasn't good enough, does the big mango bring everyone in?
Oh, certainly it's a huge draw card, and we're very lucky to have it because it's right there next to the Visitor Information Centre. But the Big Mango's been there for 24 years, and we've actually noticed in the last 3 or 4 years that we've had an increase every year in the number of visitors at the Information Centre. So certainly the mango is an attraction, and we love the Big Mango, obviously, but it's our job to make the most of that opportunity. So, you know, people turn up, they think they're going to stay 10 minutes and have their photo with the mango and then leave. They come into the Information Centre and we tell them that we've got these 8 beautiful beaches that you can snorkel directly off the beach. We talk about our walking trails and our lookouts and our murals and everything else that Bowen has to offer. And next thing, they've taken that 5-kilometre detour off the highway and they're actually spending a few hours in Bowen, or sometimes overnight or several days.
Right, so you're really adding to perhaps the time that people might spend there or the experiences that they have, and you're helping some of those local businesses that are maybe not getting the kind of advertising elsewhere.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And we're a member-based organisation as well. We have over 200 members that are local businesses and they actually pay us a fee each year. But when you come to see us, we're not there to just advertise one business or push you a certain way, which sometimes online, if people are very good at marketing, they're trying to push you to their business. We're very authentic because we've got these local volunteers that are giving real recommendations, and everything's very personal. They actually find out how long you do want to stay, what you're interested in. Are you interested in history? Would you like to go snorkeling off the beach? And each of those recommendations is tailored to the needs of each visitor.
Mm. Now, Leanne, do you find that it's perhaps mainly older Australians who come and use the centres? I guess there's a lot of older Australians travelling, but, you know, do you get younger people coming in, or do they tend to use the phone more to dictate what they're going to end up doing?
Now, it's funny that you asked that question, because just the other day we were actually checking to see the different demographics that come through. Now, Bowen's known to be a grey nomad centre, if you like. People come there who are travelling around Australia, etc. But we had 65,000 visitors last year, and over 11,000 of those were kids. Now, given that we're 5 kilometres out the road, the kids can't come there unless they come with adults. And if there's 11,000 kids, they're not coming with people that are over 60 because they're not the ones travelling with kids. So we're finding there's a lot of young families on the road and they are still using visitor information centres. Now, in our case, it might be to see the big mango or to meet our mango mascot. It might be to use the toilet, etc. But they're still using visitor information centres. And, you know, the internet's been around for longer than some of their parents were born.
Yeah. We've got Leanne Abernathy with us. Now, Sue in Mount Waverley has given us a call. Tell us when you found the Tourist Information Centre particularly helpful.
Oh, yes, Suzanne. I was telling Lachlan, we were travelling to Ballarat a couple of years ago, and we were relying on the phone, of course, as you do, to find a place we'd never been before. He was in the back blocks of Ballarat, and he didn't seem to be on any formal maps. And it was when Optus went down for 24 hours. So we had no idea how to locate him. And if it hadn't been for the information centre, they were so helpful. They printed off maps from the computer and it took us all about half an hour to find him, but if it hadn't been for them, we would have still been driving around Ballarat, I suspect. We were so grateful, we went back the next day with a box of chocolates to thank them.
Oh, okay. You were impressed to a high degree then, so all right.
Absolutely. They were just fantastic.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad to hear it worked so well in your particular case. Now, Wayne says visitor information centres are essential. Classic example. I live in Adelaide. I want to go for a drive up north for a few days to see the wildflowers. I can't find any information online, so I'll be phoning information centres tomorrow to find out when and where to go, says Wayne. Someone else says, yeah, wherever we travel, we always go to them. They're generally awesome and can't be replaced by a phone. Jen says, sailed into Hobart, went to the tourist hub. It was the best. Travel advice, restaurants and local transport. And Tom says, I found some visitor information centres sell local produce. I've had some delicious jams and honey. Leanne, I think you value at it, your tourist information centre, don't you?
Yeah, we certainly do. We certainly have jams and chutneys, and we have mango sorbets that almost every second person that comes into the information centre in Bowen actually buys a mango sorbet, and it's produced there in Bowen, and it's one of the attractions that people come especially to get the mango sorbet. But in the last couple of years, we have deliberately increased our retail offering. So we now have a lot more locally branded souvenirs, a lot more local produce. I mean, our markets are very popular on a Sunday, and they're very popular in Early Beach on a Saturday. But if you come during the week and you want chutneys or jams, you just come to the information centre and we've got them there.
Yeah. Now, I've got Suzanne. Wayne Cliff with us still. Yeah, Wayne, I was just wondering how many other visitor information centres are also expanding into to products as well as information?
Well, last year across Queensland and New South Wales, they sold something like $11.5 million worth of local merchandise. And it's not just the fridge magnets and the you imagine that a lot of them still have, of course. It's really interesting local stuff. Could be indigenous products that they have from the region, or as Leanne's been talking about, some of the mango products. So it really encourages and assists local communities in by providing a shopfront for them. They can take some of this gear on in a consignment basis, or they buy it and they resell it. So there's a really important part of the social fabric, and selling merchandise is a really big part of it now.
Yeah. And so, Wayne, do you see challenges in the years ahead for tourist information centres? Or are you thinking that the ones that have closed over the past few years, that's just kind of the ebb and flow of the way these things go, and that there's no real fundamental change in the need for them?
Oh, I think they need to embrace the digital world, because that clearly is here. And the good ones are certainly doing that. Great social media. They have, some of them have got chatbots now, so they can provide information to people after hours. They're reaching out to contact people as they plan their holidays, not just waiting for them to get into town. So those that embrace it, and it's fairly easy to do that, are going to make sure that they're there for the long run. But I think you'll find that people have been saying for the last 10 years or more that they're all going to disappear, and that was, you know, they're still here and they will be in the next 10. They'll change their look a little bit. They'll be around.
Yeah. Well, Ian from Brulee is just saying the Batemans Bay Tourist Information Centre closed due to, well, he says, extreme short-sightedness of the Yirrabadalla Council. What are your thoughts? I mean, there's an example of one that has shut.
Yeah. Well, the council's under a lot of pressure financially. So sometimes the low-hanging fruit is the accredited Vic, and they'll pull some of the funding out of that. But there are ways to change that. There are ways to get more volunteers in there to assist with defraying those costs. There's always a way around the problem. But unfortunately, some, whether they're councils or other stakeholders, local tourism organisations, they just take the easy way out and say, we'll just close it. Nobody really cares. They don't understand or don't value the how they assist the community, not just the visiting community, but the people that live there too. It's like a service.
Sharon in Ballarat, hello.
Hello, lovely conversation, thank you. It was so lovely to hear the lady who rang up and how sweet of her to take them chocolates. It's so darling. Here in Ballarat, yes, we do use it. In fact, I was using it to be able to do two things this weekend. For example, to get a ticket to go to Her Majesty's, which has just reopened about a year or so ago. And I had the most amazing experience seeing Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim, today, and there's volunteers everywhere for not just the tourist information, but for Her Majesty's and for the art gallery, and they're absolutely wonderful. And the other thing that we do as locals is that we're ambassadors, we're all ambassadors. So, for example, I think way back when the one-way system was a bit new to a lot of people with the street, with the roads, I actually taxied someone right away around through the whole system to get somewhere. They were so grateful. I said, it's nothing. It's so easy to drive.
Sharon, thank you. Well, there's a great example, yes, of the locals as well as the visitors. We might just have time to squeeze Joan in, because, Joan, you went to the Bowen Tourist Information Centre.
I certainly did, Suzanne. Good evening. We went in there. We were just passing through. We were going to go to the loo and we were going to get a drink or something. We bought a mango sorbet and it was absolutely magnificent. And we had one today here at home and we were comparing it. Not as good as Bowen.
There you go, Leanne. There's a bouquet for you.
And we stayed 4 days. We stayed 4 days in the end.
And was that your intention, or did you end up staying longer because of all of the information you got?
We weren't even going to stay. We were passing through.
Well, Leanne, job well done.
Yes, thank you, Joan. I'm not sure when you came through, but I'm pleased you enjoyed
a
sorbet.
It's a few years now because I'm a lot older now, but we were just, on the road travelling, pulling a camper. And it was fantastic. And we love Bowen. And if we could get back, we're too old now, but we can't get back, but we love it still.
Excellent. All right. Well, you can still have more mango sorbets, Joan.
I was wondering if there was any way I could get some sent down, but I think they might be a little bit melted when they get down here.
Yeah, Leanne, you probably can't supply that. But look, we will have to wrap up. Leanne, thank you. Leanne Abernathy, manager of the Bowen Information Centre in Queensland. And look, I think your mango sorbets are now certainly on the ABC listeners' radar, if they weren't before. And also thanks, Wayne Cliff, program manager for the Visitor Information Centre Network across Queensland and New South Wales. Thanks, Wayne.
Pleasure. Thanks, Suzanne.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.